League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
When we started writing our thoughts down on paper, it opened up endless possibilities. Ideas could grow beyond the borders of the mind, and it changed the world. Somewhere along the way, we lost touch with paper, distracted by devices made for every purpose except for thinking and focus. On edge, waiting for the next notification. But what if new technology didn't pull us away from paper, but brought us closer to it? Listen. That's not paper. It's the sound of the new Remarkable Paper Pro, rewriting the future. A paper tablet with a true color ink display, gentle reading light, and unheard of tactility. With digital features for taking notes, thinking, and organizing, without any distractions. Paper is about to change the world again. Get your paper tablet at Remarkable.com today.
Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
Ladies and gentlemen, I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
It's In This League.
They're here.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Come again?
With Scott Bogman and Chris Wells.
Can't wait.
What does that do? Does that blow your mind?
That just happened.
Welcome in. This is In This League on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. I am beside my favorite person in the whole wide world. It is Scott Bogman, host of 1,264 different podcasts on the internet.
Right.
And 1,200 of them are about college fantasy football or college football, because that's how he rolls. You can find him anywhere. You can find me over on a couple places as well, and mostly over on the interwebs, on the Twitters, at Bogman Sports, that's him, at Is It The Welsh, that is I. This is In This League, and we're right here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network for 3 hours of essentially football talk. I mean, I don't know how we get away from football talk, because this is the beginning of the big draft weekends. I don't know about everybody, Bogman. I don't know if everybody jumps in and this is the big one. We tend to like to push it closer to the season, but we do technically have like three slow drafts that we're doing. We started on Friday. We have some starting on Monday. So we have officially kicked off draft season for ourselves.
Yeah, I mean, we've been doing slow drafts anyway, but
yeah, but like, yeah, slow. I don't count like the slow keepers and stuff like that. Like we are doing our In This League entry leagues, and we're really stepping it up too. We've got, over the next 3 days, we will be intertwined in a PPR 16 man, a Superflex 16 man, and then what I'm actually really, really excited about is we're doing what we call the Medieval League. It was one entry to two leagues, and all of these are vying for rings from our friends over at officialfantasyrings.com, where one of the leagues is a guillotine league where someone is axed every single week, which I am all about. And the other is our version of a vampire league. It's not quite the true, that this is a new phenomenon. The true vampire league is like one team doesn't draft, and then they are the only ones that get to make pickups. And then if they beat somebody, they get to steal a player. Ours, we call the True Blood League, where every week you get to steal someone from the team you beat. And every week, more available players become available for the vampire to steal. So it's our version of a vampire and guillotine. I'm really excited of trying something new this year.
Yeah, it's going to be exciting. I just really don't want to be the first guy out at guillotine.
Desperately, like, desperately don't want to be out. I don't want to be out in the first three. I can't do it.
Someone's going to get eliminated the first week, and I also had to clear some stuff up because someone thought that you could take as many players as you want each week. But no, you only get one player each week.
Oh, yeah. Give me a break.
And then someone was asking me on the guillotine, there was confusion there too. They were like, is it low score overall is eliminated or low score of the week? And I said, no. It's low score of the week of every the week. It's eliminated. So, you know,
bye weeks are very important in the guillotine.
So much more important than they normally are.
It can't
you
be
know,
like.
Normally you're. No, well, I was going to say, just normally you're willing to give up like a week six.
Well,
or
that's
whatever,
what I was going to say. Like our one keeper snake league, which I'm kind of punting the year, I literally have four running backs that all have the same bye. So I'm just week, I don't know what it is, six or something like that. I'll just have no running backs whatsoever. I'll be starting Darwin Thompson and Andrew Madison. That's who I'll have out there. That's a punt week there. In guillotine, I would be immediately eliminated.
Oh, it's going to be nerve-wracking that first week. I think I'm definitely that league is the one I'm going to be watching. So, but the nice thing is if you are eliminated week one, don't have to worry about it the rest of the year. If you're anyone but me, I have to go in and pull all the players off of the teams every single week. So especially if I get eliminated week one, then I'm still doing all the work for the league the whole year through.
But the only problem is people are paying money. So there's going to be someone that will have literally flushed their money down the drain after week one, which is, I mean,
it's
just great news.
We'll still have the Vampire League.
Yeah, so, no, I mean, it's great news. Yeah. It's fantastic. We should do, here's an undertaking, and then we'll just quit everything we do. Let's do like a huge tournament style Vampire League. Let's do that. It'll be like poker when you get down to like six.
What would you call it?
I don't know.
I know what to call it, but I can't say it on the radio.
Oh, so. Yeah. Shmooshma. Yeah. Yeah, like that. Oh, I know. I know. Well. I thought of the other one. I got it. Like like the Houston, one of those type of things. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, yeah, the Houston thing. No, I buy into that. And then like maybe it could be like poker. Like then eventually like people start playing against then you'd have the same players. That would be wacko. But it'd be fun to see like a tournament style Vampire League go down, wouldn't that?
Yeah, it would be. Those leagues are, we're going to find out. They're either going to be really fun or they're going to be super terrible. Like, it's one of those. I don't think there's going to be gray area in those at all, right?
Yeah.
So we'll see. We're going to find out. You'll get updated here as the year goes on.
That's true. We'll probably talk about it here. We could almost do one where, you know, how we have our In This League satellite leagues, which there's eight leagues. Each league is 12 teams, so it's a whole bunch of people. We could do one where it's like the bottom 10 are eliminated every single week. You know what I'm saying? Like a big old guillotine one. The bottom 10 just gone until we get to the very top. And then, like, you know, the last couple weeks, it's like the bottom 5 and then 3 and then 2, 1.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. And Bogman will do all of it. I'll do none of it.
And I'll just do all of the work, and you'll just collect the money? Is that how it's going to go?
That's right. That's the plan. That's the plan. That's how we do those things. But it is fun. Yeah. It's a time of year to get yourself reacclimated. People love to do the draft parties. People love to, you know, I mean, those companies that make those draft boards, those dudes are just raking in money right now. Like people just go to flock to Amazon or whoever the hell does it just to buy the stupid players' names so they can put them up on a board in person. So, I mean, it's that time of year. You're planning parties. Everyone's getting locked in. Fantasy football is the one fantasy sport that just brings everybody together. You just don't see it anywhere else. Baseball doesn't have that type of pull. And then, of course, if baseball doesn't, none of the rest do. But you see, you know, we just interviewed Bob Harris, stupid going out. He's going to be playing with stupid Alice in Chains and whatever in L.A. And, you know, rock stars, Duff McKagan or whatever his name is. Like, rock stars are going to be doing it. Like, companies do they do company-wide fantasy football drafts. I mean, you're not looked at as a nerd. If you play fantasy football, it brings everybody together. If you play fantasy hockey, then you're a freaking nerd.
I think they're all nerdy.
Well, baseball is too. But I'm just saying, football
is
the one.
Nerdiness is more acceptable now. So
yeah, but like
fine.
You see other athletes and stuff. Like
it ain't magic, you know.
Well, no,
that's all I'll say.
No, it's not magic or anything like that. I'm just saying everybody circles around and gets all super excited about it. So. We got a lot going on here. I'm going to be here for I know I've been kind of in and out the last couple of weeks. I'm going to be here for the 2 hours. Bogman's going to be rocking with our boy Casey Bubba in the third hour. So you're going to be able to catch that. So be on the lookout for that. We are going to be talking about a mess of stuff. We are going to have some preseason conversation. I want to talk about Ezekiel Elliott because I think that's I feel like we beat it to death, but there's just so much conversation around it. There is one thing that is
I mean, it might be the top of the list of importance. It might be the most important thing to talk about Bogman. So are you ready?
I'm ready. Let's hear it.
The XFL should immediately file for bankruptcy. Today. Today, they should just quit while they're down.
They should just do it before the 3 weeks that they get in.
But yeah, before they can't pay their players and they make trading cards and then they have to embarrassingly file for bankruptcy like the AAF. The AAF, which lasted, I think, from February to April, and then they were done. So that's like 2 months. The XFL on Wednesday, maybe it was? Wednesday, I think, released their team names and the logos for them. The team names, I don't think, are good, but they pale in comparison to the childlike Madden team create from 2004 like logos that they put to these teams, and the internet absolutely destroyed the XFL, which is looking to launch in 2020. And I believe they signed their very first player, Bogman, Landry Jones. Did you see that one? Your guy.
Yes, I'm so happy he's in the XFL. That's my favorite.
So here are the
so bad.
Have you looked at the logos yet?
You know what? You told me about them before we started, and I just looked at them, and I'm with you. Just go ahead and file for bankruptcy.
It should. So Yahoo has an article here. It goes, they ranked, ranking from most ridiculous to, well, not best, but least ridiculous. So I'm guessing, okay, so yeah, most ridiculous they start off with. The logo isn't horrible. It actually, to be fair, it might be the second best logo. But number 8, the XFL is going to have a team in St. Louis called the St. Louis Battlehawks.
Why?
What is a Battlehawk?
Well, I don't know. I don't understand the Battlehawks. I don't get it.
I've got no idea. I've got nothing. It's a sword with a couple wings on it. This actually looks like something that hit the cutting room floor in Madden where they're like, well, now it looks like we're not trying. Like, this
is, you know what they did?
Stupid.
I know what they did to make these logos. Are you ready?
Okay.
I hate to peel back the curtain.
They went into paint?
And tell everyone how this happened.
Flip
but no,
art?
They went to Fiverr and they paid they paid 8 people to do a logo.
Yep.
$5.
They
That's
did,
exactly
they,
what happened.
They didn't select the $20 option where they got the PNG and the PDF file. They just selected the $5 basic option with no revisions. That's what they did. You nailed it. You're 100% right. The XFL, you know, it is all of Vince McMahon's money. So they just said, we'll save a couple dollars here. We'll go find Betty on Fiverr, who's got a really great rating, and she's got lots of options, but we'll stick with the $5 no revision option. So the most ridiculous, according to this Yahoo article, I would say from a name perspective, 1,000%. The Battlehawks is incredibly stupid.
It's so dumb. I don't understand. Maybe there's a story behind it, but we don't know it.
No, there's nothing. There's truly nothing. It's horrid. The name is horrid. The logo is not the worst thing in the world, though basic. This is the worst logo one, though. Number 7, the Seattle Dragons. They're just the Dragons. And they literally just took, what is the college team that has the Dragon logo?
UAB.
They just took UAB's logo. That's all that they did.
You know, you're exactly right.
That's all it is.
It looks the same.
All they did.
Oh, my God.
All they did was they tilted it so you didn't see any front facing. They're like, let's take that logo and let's get a side angle. That's all that they did.
Oh, my God. Now I have to go look at the UAB logo because I think I think you're right.
It's hysterically stupid.
Logo. Oh, my God, dude. It's the same thing.
Color scheme and everything.
It's the same logo.
And
UAB is going to sue somebody.
And by the way, more reason why this was someone from Fiverr. This is a total Fiverr thing. They'd be like, oh, I got this template. Here you go. Here's your new logo. 100%. The Seattle Dragons, because when I think of Seattle, I think of dragons.
I think dragons.
Yep, yes, that's all I think exactly. of. The next couple, I didn't notice this before, but the Tampa Bay Vipers. Not only does it not make sense and is stupid, but that logo is going to get used in ways they didn't plan for it to get used. Just look at that logo for a minute. The Tampa Bay Vipers. Look at the V. That's going to get parodied.
Why is Tampa Bay the Vipers? Like, the first of all, like, you can't get better than the Bucks. The Bucks have the best logo. I think the Bucks have the best name and logo in the NFL.
How about Tampa Bay, a Florida man?
Tampa Bay Meth Gators.
They should have been the Meth Gators. They missed out on the biggest opportunity of their entire lives to not be the Tampa Bay Meth Gators.
The Tampa Bay Meth Gators.
Remember in remember the wrestling movie where Diamond Dallas Page, or I think it's David Arquette, goes, if I turn it upside down, it looks like that's what the Viper looks like. It's not a
right.
It actually, they didn't try. It's the least try hard logo. It's really bad. Number five is the Houston Roughnecks, and they got a picture of an oil thing.
The Oilers logo and put an H in a star on it. That's all they did. They picked the Oilers logo, they put an H over it and a star behind it so that they don't get sued. That's exactly what it is.
I just don't understand it. Do you have this article posted up? Because my computer just completely froze as I was trying to get to the rest. What is number four?
Well, I don't have the article, but I have the rest of the logo. So I'm just going to do my order, right? Okay. So number four worst is the San Diego. Is that San Diego? Oh, my God. My eyes are so bad. Oh, my God. New York Guardians. Oh, Jesus
Christ. Wait a minute. You thought the New York Guardians was the San Diego Guardians?
Well, look, it would make sense because I saw three and then four, which San Diego, I understand, is three and then five. But the letters are so small on this because I'm on the XFL site. I think if you go to the XFL site, you'll be on my side because New York is the smallest of any of the places listed. I mean, L.A. is just gigantic. But the New York Guardians is last. It looks like if a lion was a vampire, right? Or a cougar was a vampire. I can't tell what kind of cat they're going with
Like an extinct saber-toothed tiger?
No, because the teeth aren't that big, but the teeth are red. The teeth and the eyes are red. The rest is gray. So you know what this looks like? It looks like someone put a cat logo on the P where the Pacers.
You know what it looks like? It looks like Lightning Mouse.
Lightning Mouse. It could be Lightning
Mouse. It looks like Lightning Mouse here. All right. I don't have the article with the ranking, but I do have the pictures back, and you just picked the Guardians. The LA Wildcats.
Nothing.
They're just not trying. Like
First of all, the Wildcats is the worst name you can do because it's the most used one in college football. So there's Arizona Wildcats, Kansas Wildcats, there's Wildcats and Tigers. Oh, my. There's just Tigers and Wildcats all over the goddamn place. Kentucky is the Wildcats, you know.
Why are they not having any symbiotic relationship with the city and the name? Like, nothing makes sense. The Seattle Dragons, the Tampa Bay Vipers, the L.A. I don't think have the L.A. Stars.
LA Shoppers.
LA Stars. Yeah, the LA Shoppers. Sure, whatever. The LA Smog.
The LA Traffic Jams.
Yeah, whatever. Anything besides what they're doing is horrible. When we come back, because we got to go to break, we'll talk about the final two on here. And then we are going to be talking about Ezekiel Elliott's situation and a funny trend with rookie running backs that we've noticed. And we've got a ton more. So don't you go anywhere. We'll be right back right here on In This League. It's Bogman and the Welsh. We'll be back.
The snozzberries taste like snozzberries.
I'm freaking out, man.
You are freaking out, man.
Littering and smoking.
In This League.
Break it down.
Welcome back. More In This League right here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. I'm Chris Welsh. Find me on Twitter at IsItTheWelsh. That is The Bogman. You can find him on Twitter at Bogman Sports. He, from time to time, tries to beat up Swamp Thing. Actually, you defeated Swamp Thing. He doesn't even have a series anymore.
Canceled. Loser. Yeah.
I think there were reviews out there that people like the show, but I think we talked about it here like months and months ago. It was something about they lost some like $20 million in a tax credit they thought they were going to do. So it was essentially a tax credit that killed the show, not storylines or anything like that. Because I think people like the show, if I remember.
Right, right.
And that was Bogman. Bogman obviously tipped him off to the tax credit issue, and he ended Swamp Thing before, you know, he could do anything big. And you won. The Bogman won again.
That's right. I usually do win.
You do win. So we were talking
I
about
can't be the first eliminating guillotine. So because I usually win.
I mean,
bad for my brand. It's bad for the Bogman brand.
We do need to figure something out. Like, neither one of us can be eliminated in the first 2 weeks. There has to be a penalty.
Yes.
I don't know
definitely
what it is.
Yeah, we just get 15% more points, I think, for organization, or I do at least. How about that?
We get a bye week one and two. That's what we get. We were talking about the XFL and what an embarrassment they are, and that they really, I mean, there's no symbiotic relationship between the cities and the team names. The team names are bad. The logos are worse. The common joke, I mean, I tweeted about it, and I think three or four people all were like, are these like Madden Create a Player logos? You guys are dead on, because literally someone who creates a video game created better logos than what the XFL did. And I don't know what the XFL was thinking. Not that, you know, the AAF was not a great product whatsoever, but they did pretty well with the logos they had, the team names. It wasn't like Arizona, like the Hot Shots, and just there was just kind of a relationship they built with it. Like, it seems like there was a lot of work. And as Bogman has noted, it really does look like everyone was like, oh, crap, we need some team names. Someone threw some team names out there. They hit Fiverr, and then they got logos that make absolutely no sense. It's a horrid start.
Real quick at the San Diego Guardians, and look real quick. Doesn't that look like the Pacers logo? They just changed where the P was and put a cat face on it.
I'd have to see the Pacers logo.
Yeah, look up the Pacers logo on your phone or something when you get a chance.
Okay.
But because it just looks like a total ripoff of the Pacers logo to me.
I'm going to look. Pacers logo on my phone. I totally see what you're saying with the... Yeah.
Like the little lines and all that stuff.
Yeah, the lines coming out of it. I see what you're saying. There's definitely something there. I can't get over that, like, you know, I was sitting here saying the Seattle Dragons is the worst logo. It's just bad looking. But man, to the Vipers and the Wildcats, they literally weren't trying. They're the worst, worst effort logos. The LA one is actually embarrassing. It's something I would do in Photoshop. It's really bad. So then it leads us to the final
it's
two.
So terrible.
It is. It leads us to the final two, which I will say this is where they got better. It almost seems like they started with these two. I would say the second best is the DC Defenders. There's a, you know, a name association there. The logo's kind of like a shield. You know, some stars in it. It says DC at the bottom. Defenders,
looks
I think.
Looks like a soccer logo.
Yeah, it does look like a soccer logo. It's fine. Like, this should be a medium logo for the league, but it's one of the better ones. I don't love it, but it absolutely blows away the stupid Guardians and the Vipers and whatnot. It's serviceable.
Yeah, if this was a soccer team.
Okay, and the best
one,
though.
It looks like it said it should say DC Football Club on it is what it should say.
I mean, they might have taken it from that. The best one, though, I would say all around, it's the only one that they got right, if you wanted to do that, is the Dallas Renegades. It's a little odd, but, you know, the picture is like...
It's just such a ripoff.
It's like a cowboy hat with a bandana on, so you see the Renegades, you think of Dallas and Cowboys and stuff like that. It's the only one that would look good on a hat or anything like that, but it does feel very rippy-offy.
You know what it looks like is... you didn't see Aquaman, did you?
No.
Okay, look up... how should I say this? Bad guy in Aquaman, his suit had these big weird red eyeballs on it, and it looks like if he was wearing a bandana.
Oh, yeah, I see that. Yeah, this big... I mean, he looks... The bandana guy looks like he's... he's the Homelander from The Boys, like with the red eyes walking around. I see exactly what you're saying. But again, it's fine. Like, that's an okay logo. That's not totally embarrassing. But then you compare that thing to the rest of them, and you're just like, did you guys lose an employee in the process of this? Like, what happened? It's really, really bad. I mean, not that this needed this much of a breakdown, but it became like a...
I think it was necessary.
It just became a whole internet thing, because the idea is the AAF was gone. The XFL is not backing down. They're coming back next year. They signed their first player. It's officially happened. You know, they're not necessarily to compete with the NFL, but they're going to be the other football league for people to consume. And with the backing of the WWE and Vince McMahon, there's a lot of high hopes. I think they should take the Sonic the Hedgehog approach here and see the internet is losing their mind, and they should think about reworking all of it. I don't care if they have trademarks. I don't care what sucker got them to pay probably thousands of dollars for those horrific logos. They need to rethink everything that they've done because it looks really bad.
Nothing here is original, and I think that's the problem. The Roughnecks are a ripoff. You know what? The Wildcats one might be the most original, but why?
Why, like, is it original?
Because the LA, but there's just no Wildcat. You know, it's original because there's no Wildcat in it.
There's nothing.
The name is the least original name, and they have, here's our awesome logo, LA. I guess every LA team has some type of a weird LA logo, but I don't know, man.
It's a big win for the NFL. It's a big win for the NFL.
I guess the Roughnecks is the coolest one.
It is.
Right?
It's the best one.
Yeah, but just a complete and total ripoff.
Yeah, it's horrible. It's going to be an unwatchable league. I can't imagine. The AF was so horrific.
Because of the
logos. No, but I think it's proof in point of, like, I think we all forget. We all lose our minds. Remember all the people that were trying to be like, I'm such a big fan of, you know, whatever team in the AAF. We're going to play fantasy. We're going to talk about it. And all I did was sit here and go, you people are psychopaths. Who cares? Why is anybody talking about it? The play will be horrific. There'll be no stars. And guess what? The play was horrific. They had nobody that was good, no offenses that could do anything. The XFL has taken away all of their little side antics. They've taken all the things that we even remember about it before. They've nixed all of it, and then they're going to try to go compete, and they're half-assing their logos and stuff. It's going to be a horrible product, unless you can powerbomb players, or it's going to be, you know, DDTs, or, you know, you tag team running back situations. It's just going to be unwatchable.
They got to let college players play. That's oh my God. I think they have poems.
Wow.
Are you ready for the Houston Roughnecks thing?
What?
I just clicked on, I don't know what this is.
You mean like how colleges will have like, hail to the chief, like that?
No, this just says Houston Roughnecks, resolute, rippling with heat, railing against fatigue, unceasing and often unseen, they labor deep in the trenches, mercenaries in the muck, brawlers in the black and dirt, not just for 3 hours, not just when the lights are bright. These are scratching, grinding, never bending few, the Houston Roughnecks, going to work for you February 2020.
That is so cringeworthy.
Oh my God.
The douche chills that just came. That was like listening to bad American Idol audition tapes. That is so embarrassing that somebody wrote that.
Los Angeles Wildcats, in the land of bright lights.
Oh no.
Far from the flash and fame, they've already begun to prowl.
Oh, please stop.
Enter their den and be dominated.
Oh.
Run away and be ripped apart. This is prime time meets primal instinct.
Oh,
this is showtime with a snarl. This is our time to roar. The LA Wildcats unleashed February 2020.
Please tell me this is fan fiction.
Is your face turning red?
Because
my face is red.
So incredibly embarrassed right now.
Deep in the heart of Texas beats a different kind of pulse. Mm. A spirit untamed. A swagger that can't be denied. Where big meets bold meets badass. This is outlaw country.
Oh.
Inside the lines. This is hell on wheels. Between hash marks. This is their home on the range, the Dallas Renegades.
Oh.
Raising hell, February 2020.
I swear to God, file for bankruptcy right now. This is so utterly embarrassing.
Should I do one more? Which other one should I do? New York, St. Louis, Seattle, Tampa Bay, or D.C.?
Please do the Tampa Bay Vipers.
The Tampa Bay Vipers. Here we go. In the shadows, they wait. Demons born in darkness, hunters by instinct, cold-blooded by nature, their bite unavoidable, their grip inescapable.
Oh.
They slither and stalk their competition, luring all who challenge them into the jaws of defeat. The Tampa Bay Vipers, ready to strike, February 2020. Oh, I'm getting chills.
It is the literally the worst thing I've ever. If the logos weren't enough, are you on there? Is that an official site?
That's on the XFL site.
Oh my God. I swear to God, cancel the whole thing. That is so embarrassing. I don't ever call for jobs. I don't want anyone to be fired over this, but they need to cancel everything. Save any money that you possibly can. That is so incredibly embarrassing to listen to. We have to move on. I can't do anymore.
I'm just trying to see if any of these are worse. They're all bad.
It's just one after the other. The most embarrassing thing that I've ever heard. The XFL is going to be absolutely atrocious. It is going to be the worst product that has ever been out there.
Yeah, it's it ain't good. Hopefully they fix all this. They have until February 2020.
hopefully the XFL strikes with might before the cart gets ahead of the horse. Embarrassing. All right.
Unveiling our terrible logos August 2019.
I mean, I thought the logos were bad, but nothing beats that. That's just
the worst.
It's the worst thing ever. And you know, there might be a promo video that's out right now that says all of that. And I just, it's too much. We've noticed an interesting trend that's going on in the, best shape of our life culture. Never had a better camp, that type of stuff. We see a lot of those things all the time. Something has happened over, it's built up through the preseason, but usually we don't see like an abundance of this stuff in like week three. That's not a common thing. We'll get before the games start, oh, this guy's amazing. Or week one, how everyone was freaking out about Brian Hill and stuff like that. We just happened to notice, we were just like perusing Roto World, and we had to just have a conversation over on the In This League Fantasy Football podcast. We had Bob Harris on. We were talking about sleepers. We talked about a lot of rookie running backs. And then all of a sudden, like something popped up and we're just looking at one day on the NFL headlines. And we started to notice this trend where every rookie running back I've never seen rookie running back hype like this at this stage of an offseason before. Just on Roto World right now, as we were recording this, Justice Hill has makings of a third round running back. Patriots, Damian Harris impressing the FO. You had, what were the other ones? Darwin Thompson leaps high on depth chart. There was one about Madison is on there. David Montgomery. Every single rookie running back is getting an incredible push, maybe at the worst time, for people to take advantage of draft values. Tony Pollard is getting first team reps. Reichwell Armstead might be the only running back that's a rookie in the entire NFL right now that isn't getting crazy hype.
Yeah, and this is
Benny Snell too.
I tell you what though, Benny Snell has made so many special teams tackles already. He's been really good, so I'm impressed by Benny Snell. But you're right. I mean, Armstead has been banged up, which is exactly what you want behind the guy that's always banged up, right? Is a banged up running back. But Madison has been getting the flash. Darwin Thompson has been getting the flash, and this is kind of why these guys are run out so early. This is why you have some of the guys holding out earlier than they normally would for better contracts, because these running backs get used real fast and they get used up and churned out. And it's kind of,
what's so what weird about it though? Here. We saw this happen last year. If everyone remembers, like week two in the preseason, week one, all this, but it was to the higher guys. Rashad Penny got the boost, and then Ronald Jones and Darius Geis. And it was all the kind of like top guys started getting this big run. This year, it is I'm not saying, of course, no one's really talking about Josh Jacobs, but he's already supplanted where he is. David Montgomery, same thing. Miles Sanders is kind of holding tight-ish, but usually it kind of dies there. Maybe there's one guy. Everybody picks that one guy that's going to be a camp battle guy. Early on, it's felt like we were trending that way during drafts because you had the big running backs I just said, and then Daryl Henderson was the guy. Everyone was picking Daryl Henderson. He was, boosting up into the fifth round and stuff like that. But all of a sudden, every damn rookie running back is just skyrocketing up. Darwin Thompson, no one is skyrocketing higher than him right now. Daryl Henderson is already being drafted as an RB3. Devin Singletary has been a guy that we've already identified. But even past those type of guys, I'm not even joking you. There are 10 running backs that are getting massive, massive push that they're, whatever it is, best shape of their life. They're going to have a huge run. Daryl Henderson's going to get 12 touches per game, this, that, and the other thing. I just don't remember a rookie hype like this. Are the rookie running backs this good, Bogman?
I don't know if they're this good. They're pretty good, you know, but this isn't a class like, I think the depth of this class is better than some of the other ones. But we didn't have a star. There was no Saquon in here. Josh Jacobs is going to be good, but you know, he's not even what Dalvin Cook was coming out. Dalvin Cook was a second round pick, not a first round pick. So I'm not into it. But you know, the opportunity is there for them, and I think that's what matters. So it's nice to see all this stuff. I mean, look, even Ty Johnson from the Lions is getting all kinds of buzz,
yeah, that's another one. It's literally not even a joke. I'm not even like making this conversation to like, ooh, something to talk about. Something has happened, and people pick their guys. We're in different drafts. It's like, ooh, Justin Hill's the guy
fresh.
This week. It's all of them.
They look fresh. I think that's really
so fresh and
what
so clean. Clean.
So fresh and so clean. Clean. They look good. They look spry. They're ready to go. And running back is an easy spot to transition into. You know, you don't have to learn a million routes. You have to be pretty good at a blitz pickup. And even if you're not, they'll just use you on running downs.
So,
or if you're not good between the tackles, they'll use you on passing downs like Daryl Henderson.
Here's a question.
More specialized.
Here's a way that we can identify it. Maybe we have this conversation. Who is the rookie running back that is too overhyped? Who is the rookie running back that still is underhyped? Maybe that's the way to approach it, because all of them are getting the push right now, and that's what we can identify. When we come back, we've also got to talk about Ezekiel Elliott and a whole bunch more. So don't you go anywhere. More of In This League is coming up right after the break, and we would remind you, go check us out over on Patreon, patreon.com/ITL Army. Bogman the Welsh, we are back.
I know how you're feeling right now.
Stop it. Don't do that.
I'm here for you.
Oh. In This League.
Welcome back. In This League right here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Don't worry if you missed any of the show. You can catch it on podcast format wherever podcasts are. You can always listen to us live on the FNTSY app or iHeartRadio, but we're on Spotify. We are on iHeartRadio for podcasts, iTunes, wherever it is. You can always catch all 3 hours of the show. Take us wherever you need over the weekends or even into the weekdays. 3 hours of Bogman and the Welsh, or at least two this time, as Bogman's going to be joined by our buddy Casey Bubba. Casey Bubba, super underrated guy in the industry. Like, he's one of those.
He's got more followers than both of us, though.
It doesn't.
And he's
really
still underrated. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I mean, people don't like us that much. That's a good point. I shouldn't.
That's
even,
true.
I'm probably not even. I shouldn't even be the guy anymore to say like anyone's underrated, because. But I do feel like there's a class. Like, he's in the same class of like, you know, just completely independent people. We just kind of come out there, we make our names known, and then we start to develop. Like, I guess what I'm saying is he's obviously more popular, probably more liked, probably more handsome, and all that. But people should take more notice. If maybe that's where
absolutely.
I want to go with it.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, Casey Bubba's good dude, good people, great analysis as well. And he's funny like we are. So I do remember saying, I think before the season started last year, remember when Chris Owings was getting the hype because Souza went out for the year and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, hey, look, Chris Owings, former minor league player of the year. And this is it's such a good burn. Because there was nothing I could say to come back to it. He said, yeah, well, I was MVP of my little league team one year. And I had nothing to respond to with that. It was just so good. So I'm always impressed if someone can just shut me down completely. And that did. So
well, that's the thing that stuck with you then.
It absolutely is. Yeah, he's hilarious. He's
okay.
Good dude.
I definitely dig that. So he's going to be here for hour three with Bogman, and they'll be able to take you guys home. But yeah, you can catch podcast wherever podcasts are. That is where we are, friendos. So a couple things I want to get in this segment before we jump into hour two, which we'll probably talk about some of the preseason stuff. We ended the last segment talking about the rookie running backs. Crazy hype going on right now. Just, you know, maybe it's just something we happen to notice. You know how that thing is where, like, you don't, like, you're not in tune to something, and then as soon as you hear the word or someone talks about it, then all of a sudden you just see it everywhere. You know, I don't know if there has been every single rookie running back has been getting all the hype, because we do mock drafts, and I would say collectively through the 10 mock drafts we've done on air, we've probably seen all the rookie running backs go high in different spots, but never all collectively. And then all of a sudden, you know, we're looking, we're doing show prep Thursday, Friday, and it's just like every single rookie running back is beloved right now. Every single one of them. They're all going to get major time. Hey, look at Damian Williams. Even though there's 12 guys in front of him, Patriots see that he is a total guy, and they got to find spots for him. That's a conversation. Well, who'd you say it was? Ty Johnson?
Damian Williams, but you meant Damian Harris.
I'm sorry. Yeah, I meant Damian Harris. And who is it? Ty Johnson with Detroit?
Ty Johnson, yeah. And look, I know about Ty Johnson because 2 years in a row, my Longhorns have lost their opening week game to stupid Maryland. And he torched them. I think not this year, but it was 2 years ago. So I figured Ty Johnson's a kick returner, but they're actually giving him some run with the ball. So that's fairly impressive. And they want to run the ball a lot in Detroit. And they've got, they got CJ Anderson, and looks like Ty Johnson will have some type of a role.
So. It's crazy. So we were kind of going through that. But the question when we went to break was, who is the most overhyped of the rookie running backs, and who is the guy theoretically that is still underhyped? So I throw it to you, Boggs. Ooh. Let's start with the overhyped. The overhyped guys, you know, there, Darwin Thompson is moving up. You know, some people, he's getting a little up there. Justice Hill really tends to go, I think, pretty high comparative to Mark Ingram being there. You've got, Damian Harris, I don't think is quite in there. Devin Singletary, still no guarantees on him. He obviously goes high. Daryl Henderson. And then you got the big guys. You got Josh Jacobs, David Montgomery. Of all the rookie running backs, because every single one of them is amazing right now, who's the guy that's too much?
Well, I want to say Dexter Williams so bad here. Mm-hmm. But I don't, I think, you know, you didn't even bring up Dexter Williams. And so I don't know that I can say he's getting overhyped, right? It's just not really a thing.
This is not even being drafted like that. So
right. So I think it's probably still Daryl Henderson, even though I really like Daryl Henderson. But I think his ADP is still high from early drafts where people weren't sure about Todd Gurley and they thought, oh no, it looks so bad, and they spent this third round pick on Daryl Henderson. So obviously Henderson's going to get in the mix. Look, we saw Rashad Penny get drafted in the first round last year and not get in the mix until late in the season. So I think Daryl Henderson's probably still the most overhyped. Underhyped, you asked?
A guy that's still a good value at this point, because they're all boosting up, and probably over the next week, it's going to kind of continue to trend up. You know, Darwin Thompson is taking a pretty heavy push up. I think your guy Madison is getting the pretty big push right now. There's very few rookies that aren't moving up, but who's the guy that's still in the territory of value?
I think
Tony Pollard, another one, by the way, didn't even
mention. I think it's those three guys. I think they're,
which
now
three?
I think, Darwin Thompson, Madison, and Pollard. Now, okay. I think that Thompson, because of the Chiefs and because of the negative talk about Damian Williams, is going to be the guy that gets pushed up too high in some drafts. I think people are going to, you know, snatch him up a little bit too high. I like Alexander Madison because I like I don't necessarily like what the Vikings offense is going to be moving towards in the more running, but it is going to be moving towards more running. So you have to kind of take that into perspective and respect it. So I think that Madison is going a little bit low too, and I keep snapping him up in almost any draft. And then Tony Pollard is a big part of what is going to happen should Zeke not show up for week one. So I think all of those guys, and I think Pollard specifically as a handcuff to Zeke, we don't like to handcuff, and Pollard isn't Zeke, but you have to, if you're spending a first round pick on Zeke, you have to get someone to do something else. What you should also be doing is drafting, you know, your second running back in the very next round. But you need Pollard too, just to make sure you're getting some production.
Well, and we'll talk about Zeke here in a second. I'm going to agree with you on the bust area. I think Daryl Henderson is still in that. I think there's potential for Miles Sanders, but I just don't think Miles Sanders is drafted in a spot where it hurts too much. He's just not going at RB2, so I just don't want to say him. Daryl Henderson, is going around the same area, and Miles Sanders doesn't have a Todd Gurley in front of him. So Daryl Henderson, for me, is that guy. The undervalue, I'm still going to say Darwin. Darwin is, I know he's moving up, and it's getting a little bit pushy, but I don't think we're there yet, especially with a guy that, worst case, is starting to look like he's going to be in a volume split with Damian Williams. What is that volume? Maybe it's only 70-30, but maybe it's 50-50, or best case scenario, maybe Darwin overtakes it. You know, maybe he gets a run earlier on. So I think Darwin is that guy if I were to pick just one as far as my underhype. But that does bring to the other big piece of conversation and why Tony Pollard is an interesting guy to draft right now is because we got news on Friday that, or I think it was Thursday, that Ezekiel Elliott received recently a contract offer from the Dallas Cowboys. And so at least there was conversation. So someone could be like, oh, that's positive news. Okay. Well, Ed Werder reports that the Cowboys offered to make Elliott one of the two highest paid running backs in the NFL. So that would mean not more than Todd Gurley, because that distinction clearly means all the other guys but Todd Gurley. And that is the only news we got, which presumably means Elliott said, thanks, but no thanks. I'm going to have another Mai Tai in Cabo. I'm good. I'll hang here. And we don't
know. I'm going to listen to some Jimmy Buffett songs here.
Sure. Whatever you got to do. I have to assume.
Play Margaritaville.
Hearing that type of news, too, is probably this is multiple days old. Like, I don't think if they on Thursday offered this deal, it got leaked. You know, I just don't feel like that would have come out. It feels like this offer has been on the table for a couple of days. Most likely the Cowboys leak it. Someone, you know, with the Cowboys leaks it to Ed Werder to show fans and people and put pressure on Elliott that the Cowboys are interested. So it's a tactic. It's a contractual tactic thing. But I think the bigger piece of all of this is this offer was out there and Elliott has not budged. Elliott does not want to be the second highest paid running back. He wants to be the highest. So we are still at a stalemate and the season starts in 2 weeks.
Yeah, man, it's nerve-wracking, and I'm doing the our buddies at the 5-Yard Rush are putting together this big tournament-style league, and so that slow draft just started today. I had pick 8, and I took Zeke, so I am going to make sure I have Tony Pollard, but I went with Joe Mixon in the second round to kind of back him up, so it's just... It's nerve-wracking if you're going to go ahead and draft him, I think. I think there are also some people that are just like, what do you mean? I don't think it's nerve-wracking at all. I'll just take him if he falls to 5th. I think people are like that, where you and I are kind of like that on Gurley.
Yeah, but, I mean, PCP has been like that. The only problem I have is I feel like the conversation around Elliott right now is not being taken serious enough. There's hedging bets. And I'm not trying to say that everyone is doing this, but just go listen to our interview we did with Bob Harris. Bob wasn't trying to hedge or anything like that, but I asked him about Elliott and he was just like, oh yeah, I'm still taking him at 8 or 9. And it's like, well, that's not what I was, you know, that's not the conversation. And I asked Bob about that, but it's like, well, that's not what I mean. Like, if you're not taking Elliott at 4, then you are worried to some capacity. So let's focus on that. I think everyone's trying to stay optimistic to take advantage of Elliott where you can. You know, if I get him at 8, 9, 10, I agree. You can get Elliott at 10 and then you can wrap around and get a Joe Mixon or a Nick Chubb. It's worth the risk, but I don't think there's enough conversation being put around. If you were at 4 or 5, are you taking Elliott right now? And I feel like everyone wants to hedge their bets and talk about it being later, but everybody's worried. You should be worried. It is 2 weeks and he has not stepped on a Dallas Cowboys practice field. He has not been in the locker room. And we have zero signs outside of a contract offer was made by the Cowboys that this is coming out. You think if a contract was offered and both sides were negotiating, that a great tactic would be for the Cowboys to leak what they're doing? You think that's going to be good on the side of both of Elliott and his agent? I don't think that's going to work too well. I don't think that helps at all. This is a tactic to me that says they're not further along and someone is trying to gaslight the situation. I would be worried. You got him at 8. Okay. I think it's a fine risk, but I still think there's worry there. I would be concerned.
So you're not taking him at 8.
I'm not saying I'm not going to take him at 8. I'm not in disagree. I think 8 to 10 is kind of the spot, but I still acknowledge I have now implemented a massive amount of risk in the beginning of my draft. And I am going to be backpedaling the rest of the draft to cover for that, where I know Gordon is probably more of a risk. All the narrative around Melvin Gordon is that he's going to hold out until the season. But I can get Melvin Gordon in the third or fourth round, and I can mitigate that.
I could have taken Gurley, and I took Zeke.
I would have 100% taken Gurley, I think.
How about James Conner?
I said I was so sure, and then I said I think after, by the way. I'm like 100% I think I would have taken him.
I didn't even hear it.
Yeah. What was the other one? I'm sorry.
James Conner.
See, that's where I'm torn.
You're like, a Conner guy.
I am a Conner guy. I like James Conner. Like, Todd Gurley specifically, to me, is the guy where I'm just taking him. Like, I'm taking him over Elliott right now. People might be like, blah. But, okay, Todd Gurley is as much of Ezekiel Elliott as anybody. So why wouldn't I be cool with Todd Gurley? You want to make arguments to David Johnson or Lev Bell or James Conner? I'm with that. It's all about your risk. If I'm in much deeper leagues, Elliott could be a league winner, but he could also crush you. Because if you're in a 16-man, you take him at 8, and you have to spend the next 3 or 4 rounds backpedaling to make sure you're covering for it. You can do it maybe if Darwin works out and you get him late and you get Tony Pollard, if those things work out for you, but they're increasingly going high and you have to really nail the rest of yours. I'm just saying.
And this is 12-man. So this is 12-man.
The one
and
you
I backed
did?
Him up. Yeah. So, and the guys that went ahead of him were Bell, David Johnson, McCaffrey, Kamara, and Barkley, and Hopkins and Adams were the two wideouts.
Okay.
So I took Zeke, and then Julio went, and then Patrick Mahomes went. And then Michael Thomas, James Conner, Todd Gurley, Kelsey, Tyreek Hill, OBJ, and then I took Joe Mixon in the second. So I think
that's
that
solid
mix of Zeke and Mixon in a 12-man is pretty damn good.
And I'm with that. I'm totally with that. And I'm having a hard time distinguishing like my concern versus value-based drafting versus is it worth it? Like all of those things come into play. I'm conflicted, and I hate to be so conflicted in the first round. I don't want to keep going back to the Lev Bell stuff. It just doesn't feel great to be conflicted. If you're the guy that takes Todd Gurley or James Conner or David Johnson over Ezekiel Elliott, and then Elliott shows up a week before the league and you missed out, are you really going to kick yourself? All you did was you backed yourself up. Maybe it made the rest of your drafting stronger because you felt, you know, you had to make up for the lack of upside by passing on Elliott and taking David Johnson. So maybe it works out. Is it really something you're going to beat yourself up over? Or if you take Elliott over those guys and Elliott does hold out into week 4 or 5, how pissed off are you going to be? How pissed off are you?
I'm going to be pretty mad. Yeah, and I'm with you. And to be honest, I have so many teams. This was kind of one of the I just want to share of Zeke because he fell to me at 8.
Well, and that's
I want to see if that works.
And see, that's something I wish more people would talk about as well. And I don't think is giving enough credit. Everybody in the industry plays 1,200,000 leagues. And everybody talks to the listeners like they play 12,000 leagues. And I know a lot of you do. Guys in the ITL Army, you guys play a lot. But there are also people out there that play 2 or 3 leagues. And I don't think you should talk in narratives.
I think
for
the most part, I talk into what I would do if I had one league.
Yeah, and I think you do a good job. I just think a lot of people will talk and you didn't mean to say it like this, but people will talk like this is part of their piece. They're like, oh, I want to make sure I have, they'll say, hey, Elliott, I'm not concerned about blah, blah, blah. And then they'll draft him. They'll be like, yeah, because I want to make sure I have some shares and stuff like that. Yeah, but if you play one big league and that's it, is Elliott truly worth it in that spot? Just because you wanted to have some shares. I'm not so sure that he is. Talent-wise, yes. It's a messy situation. We've talked so much about it. Tony Pollard's getting first-team reps, which looks good. If you can get Pollard to back up with Elliott, it might work out for you. You pair out a bunch of other running backs, it might work out. I just think there's a line, and the line is a little bit higher than everybody else. 8, I don't kill you in the 12-man especially. I think you actually murdered it with Mixon and Elliott. And then you probably are going to, if you haven't already, you're probably going to be able to get another really good running back here shortly. So you mitigate your downfall. But I just feel like the conversation around Elliott is so nonchalant with people that have drafted 12 best ball leagues and have 40 other drafts. And everyone's just like, what's the big deal? If I lose a couple, I lose a couple. But if you draft Elliott in 2 of your 3 leagues, you might be looking at fantasy baseball in November.
Yeah, I mean, you very well could be, but
and then he's gonna sign in like a day. He'll sign like right after we do this show.
Well, okay. I mean, I know we're running up against.
Yeah, we got to break in like 20 seconds.
Well, what's the likelihood of Zeke signing before week 1? Percentage?
I think it's 50-50 right now.
I think it is 60-40 in favor. I think they'll pony it.
Okay. I hope they do. I hope they do. I hope all of this is cured right before I do some drafts so I can get some shares. All right. That is hour one, friendos. Don't go anywhere. Hour two is coming up. We're going to talk about some of the preseason games, a whole bunch of other notes, and then Casey Bubba is going to be joining us. So more coming up right here on In This League.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.